Morning. Today's daf in Sota is Mem Gimel. Yesterday we started the new perek on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the eighth perek of the Masechta. Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Zechnis Maslibik, Avril Bashmua. We talked yesterday about the Meshuch Mechama. There's an appointed coin. The appointed coin that we're all familiar with is the Kohen Gadol. Sorry. But there's another Kohen that's appointed, and that's Meshuch Mechama. Meshuch Mechama is basically the chief rabbi of the army. He's the one who, as we learned in yesterday's daf, once as they're crossing the border and once on the battlefield. So he's going to speak up and he's going to encourage and give courage to the army before they engage in battle. The Meshuch Mechama gives a speech, and it's coming up here in Masechta Sota as the first Mishnah in the eighth parak, because it goes back to the first Mishnah of the seventh parak. In the seventh parak, we go back all the way back to Lamed Beis, and the Mishnah over there said there are certain things that have to be said by Lashon HaKodesh. One of the things that have to be said by Lashon HaKodesh is is a speech that's delivered by the Kohen Meshuch Mechama. So in yesterday's Mishnah, we went over the speech that's given by the Meshuch Mechama. One of the points that we articulated yesterday is that going to battle with them is not like going to battle with your brothers. Going to battle with your brothers, so there's going to be some compassion. You're going to battle with your enemies, there's not going to be any compassion. So the Mishnah says that the Mishnah reports that the Kohen says to the Jewish people, you gotta be strong, you gotta be brave, you gotta fight. Furthermore, the Gemara goes on to say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Thank you. Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and just take into consideration how historically we went against opponents who were much larger than us, and we defeated them. So at the end of the Mishnah yesterday, I'm in Beis Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, quoting the pasuk, "Ki Hashem lokechem halechem achem heim bayim benitzchunah shal basav adam v'atem bayim benitzchunah shal makom." You were coming in with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll discuss more about that in the course of today's daf. But we're coming in with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Polishim bal benitzchunah shal galyas. For example, the Mishnah says the Plishtim, they're coming in with Goliath, right? Galias. Mahaya sofala sof nafal becherev v'nafalo imo b'nei Amon. I'm sorry, v'nafalo imo. So good, so Galias was defeated by the sword. B'nei Amon ba b'nitzchun l'shol shavach. Galias, I'm sorry, Amon comes in with another giant by the name of Shavach. So once again, good. Good. So he also was killed with the sword. The Aaron comes in together with us. So we are, says the Mishnah, going to come in with divine assistance. So there's no reason to be afraid. Adkan Devei HaMishnah, that is what we saw yesterday in the Mishnah. We're going to skip the little Gemara that we did yesterday already. We're on the top of Mem Beis Amud Beis. We're at the two dots towards the top. Plishim Bam Nitzchun L'Shol Galyas. Okay, gives the Gemara an opportunity to discuss Galyas and his lineage. So the Gemara starts off. Galyas Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shama B'Gilui Panim. So as the Gemara often want to do, we start with his name and the darshaning of his name. His name is Galyas, and it's triggered by Gilui Panim. He was brazen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He showed it full face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenem Rabru Lachem Ish V'Yireid Alai V'Ein Ish Ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says in describing the confrontation, so Brulachem Ish, he says, go pick a man. Ein Ish Ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning when Galyas says go pick a man, really encoded in that is, you know what, I'm out to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenem Hashem Ish Machama. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Ish. I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'inim Ma'pilo Al Yad Ben Ish. HaKadosh Baruch who says, I'm not only going to take him out, but I'm going to use Ben Ish. I'll use a kid. Shenemar v'David Ben Ish Efrati Hazem. Okay, so so not only Hashem says, not only is he not going to be able to defeat the Ish, he won't even be able to defeat the Ben Ish. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir B'Shoshim Mekamos Lachto Piv La'osto Rasha. Right, this is the Gemara doesn't say this exactly, but it's kind of a don't trash talk. It's an anti trash talking Gemara. But three times Galias opens his mouth and he's ensnared by the words that come out of his mouth. Echad. One example is Brula Chamish v'yerein elai. Go pick a man v'yerein elai and let him come to me. Let him descend to me. So again, obviously he didn't mean this, but in his trash talking, he basically says, "I'm going to go down." V'idachim yuchal alachim iti v'ikani. And a second occasion, let's see if he can fight me, let's see if he can beat me. And again, he said the word hikani. So the words that he says really ends up ensnaring him. And Galia says, am I a dog that you're coming after me with sticks? So once again, the trash talking that Galias does ends up becoming his demise. The Gemara says, well, if we're talking about trash talking, you know, David HaMelech does a little bit of trash talking himself. David says, what are you going to come after me with? You're going to use a sword, a spear, a javelin? You're going to use all those weapons against me? Come on. So David also engages in a little bit of the banter. So the Gemara says, how do Amar Leib? The Gemara says, yes, that's true, but David HaMelech quickly followed up with, Banochi ba'alecha b'shem Hashem tzvakos, elokei, archos Yisrael. David followed up immediately with, and you know what I'm coming back at you? I'm coming back at you with Hashem. So in other words, so that mitigates the idea that David was also engaged in trash talking. Trash talking by itself, obviously not good, that ends up ensnaring you. But David HaMelech immediately said, but I'm with Hashem. You saw that you embarrassed. So the plishti, meaning Galias. So morning and evening, he went and he taunted the Jewish people. In order so that they don't say Kriyashma both in the morning and in the evening. We learned yesterday in the Mishnah that the Zechuyos that protect us at war, even the Zechus of saying Kriyashma of Shachris and Arvis. So Galias understood this to a degree, and so therefore he was trying to be Mavata the Jewish people from saying Kriyashma both morning and evening. And he stood there for 40 days, taunting the Jewish people. Amrav Yochan Kenegan Arbaim Yom Shanana Ben Torah. He knew the Torah was given in 40 days. And again, it's not only the physical battle, but the metaphysical battle that existed between Galias and the Jewish people. So he wanted to take away their defense system of the Zechus of Mam and Har Sinai. Vayatza Isha Beinima Machanos Plishtim. When the Navi introduces Galias, they refer to him as an Ish HaBeinim. What does that mean? The Gemara goes on to explain. My Beinim Amrav Shem Mevuna Mechomum. He was a perfect specimen. He was unbelievable. He had no blemish on him whatsoever. And Shmuel gives a much different explanation. He was mediocre, meaning amongst his family members, he was average. Not too tall, not too short, average. A third shot in the Gemara, HaBeinim, from the word binyan. He was a building. Right, built like a building. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan Amar, Bar Mea Papi Vechada Nane. So another explanation is that he is a derivative. He's a byproduct of 100 men. Take a look at Rashi. Bar Mea Papi Vechanane Ben Ha'Ta'arovish Abo Harben Hashem Alimo Balayla Achas. His mother had relations with many men. Over 100. Now Rashi points out that one of them is father, and of course the other ones are Noef, but that is encoded in the Pesukim. Okay, a fascinating Tosis over here. I'm not going to go through it right now, but if you have time later today, take a look at the top Tosis on the Samud. There are only two on the Amud. Take a look at the top Tosis on the Amud that goes into a discussion, quoting a Yerushalmi, in terms of the composition that was made in order to create Galias. Almost like a mutation of multiple. Anyway, take a look at Tosus. It's really interesting. V'Galiashmo, back to the Gemara. His name was Galias Migas. I'm sorry, V'Galiashmo Migas. Tani Rav Yosef shall call Dashin Nisimo Kigas. So once again, he's from Gas, but the Gemara understands this on another level, and that is that his mother treated his mother like a press. In other words, they had relations with her. Ksiv ma'arot v'karin and ma'arachos, and Rav Yosef shakol ha'aru b'imo. Again, the Gemara is really going to going to make this point a number of times, and that is the drashas of how his mother slept on multiple occasions with multiple men. Ksiv harpa v'ksiv arpa. One location, mom is identified as Harpa with a hay, and the another place, and she's described as Arpa. Okay, the Rav Shmuel Chanamar Harpa Shmo, and here we have a classic machlokus between Rav Shmuel. What's the name and what's the nickname? Nickname meaning just more of an adjective than an actual proper noun. So Harpa Shmo v'laminikushmo Arpa shakol orfin osa me'achareha. So one pshat is arpa because not only did the men have relations with her, but b'yishalo kedarka, and that's from the word ori, from the back of the neck. V'charamar arpa shmavalam nikra shma harpa shakol dashen oso keharifos. Another pshat is that everyone had relations with her, much like the wheat gets pounded down, so she also has multiple relations. V'cheinu omer, v'tikach reisha, v'tifros ha-masach ha-pnei ha-be'er, v'tishtach ala harifos. The Gemara quotes a number of psukim that describe the word harifos as the spreading out of the wheat. Ibai thema mehacha, the Gemara quotes the second pasuk, im techachesha sa'avil, b'machtesh besoch harifos. So once again, this idea that the wheat gets pounded, Okay, so a couple of psukim that speak to this idea that the wheat gets pounded down, and that's a description of arpa. V'es arbas ela yuldu la harpa begas. She had four sons born to her in Gas. Vayiplu b'yad David uv'yad avadav. And they fell to David, and they fell to David's servants. Mayn ninu? Amrav chisa saf madon galyas v'yeshbi benov. So the Gemara simply identifies who these four children of Arpa were. Vayiplu b'yad David b'yad avadav dechsivati shak arpa l'chamosa v'rus daf kaba. Okay, so all this really goes back to Rus and Arpa. In terms of the generations, by the way, parenthetically, they're not first cousins. Meaning, David and Goliath are not first cousins. David was a descendant of Rus, but a great grandson of Rus. The Gemara has it over here that Goliath was a child of Arpa. So, in terms of the generations, they're off. But in terms of where they go back and trace back the roots, you go to the two matriarchs, Rus and Arpa, and we're going back to Sefer Rus, and we know that Rus clung to her mother-in-law, and Arpa did not cling to her mother-in-law. And the Gemara says,
she was a Philistine.
Huh?
Arpa was not a Philistine.
She was okay. That may be true. In terms of identification of nationality, it goes by the father. Okay. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Bnei Hanushuka V'Yiplu Biyad Bnei Hadavuka, and the Gemara says it is justice, poetic justice, that the one who was the descendant of the Neshuka, meaning generally speaking, Neshuka is a good thing, meaning it shows the love, but in this context it doesn't. Meaning the Neshuka that Arpa gives her mother-in-law was a goodbye, meaning it was a kiss goodbye. So and Rus on the other hand, not the Neshuka, but the Devekus, meaning she stuck to her mother-in-law, and she converted, she became a Jew. So poetic justice that the Bnei HaNeshuka should fall into the hands of the Bnei HaDevuka. Darush Rav Bishar Arba Demal Sharida Arpa Al Chamasa Zachri Viatim. And why did Arpa have four great children? Because she cried. Meaning that although she did part with her mother-in-law, but it wasn't just a simple parting. There were tears, and those tears helped form the four great children that he had, that she had. She lifted her voice. She cried. Vatifkena owed. Okay, four references. Ksiv chetz chaniso v'karinin eitz chaniso. Amar Rav Lazar adayin lo higyen l'chatzi shiv choshal oso rasha. We haven't even gotten to half of his praise. Meaning the word chetz could also be understood in the context of chetzi. Meaning that as much as we've been praising Galias, we haven't even said half of it. There's much more to go. Mikan she'asal asaper b'shiv choshal reshaim. So, and what do we learn from here? In other words, we could have said more about Galias, but he's a Rasha, so we're not going to say anymore. We're just going to say what we said. To which the Gemara asks the obvious question, well, I don't understand. If the whole idea over here is that he's a Rasha, and don't praise him, so don't praise him at all. You know, we said that he's perfect, he's not blemished, he's a warrior. Just why not just simply not say anything? The Gemara says, "Lo di shivcha de David." Yeah, but you also want to know what David ended up succeeding, and what David ended up defeating, and you only have an appreciation for that if at least you have some idea of what Goliath was. If you don't know what he was at all, so then you don't know what David defeated. Now at least we have an idea of what he was. So now it's shevach shel David to at least know what Goliath was. We go back to the Mishnah, and again, the Kohen's words of encouragement, the Kohen Meshuch Mechama, his words of encouragement was, you see how David took on Goliath? Good. We're going to do the same. And you see how David took on the giant of Ammon by the name of Shovach? Once again, the Gemara is saying, good. We'll do the Kohen says, we'll do the same. Ksiv Shovach v'siv Shofach. So once again, what's his name? So various reports. One name given to him in Shmuel Beis, and another name given to him in Divrei Yamim. So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel, Chanama Shofach Shmo. And again, the classic debate between Rav and Shmuel. One says that his name was Shofach, but Lamini Kvar Shmo Shovach. Shasui Ko Shovach, he looks like a birdhouse. Now, to me, this is not imposing. I obviously don't have in my mind a good image of what a bird of an imposing birdhouse. Okay, clearly it's meant to indicate that he was mighty. When you see him, you basically pour yourself out, right? You lose all vigor and hope that you're going to beat him. Kulam gibarim. Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. We are going off topic. We are leaving the personalities that are described in the Mishnah. But again, the machlok is between Rav and Shmuel, and so therefore the Gemara is just simply going to continue along this line. Ashpasok kever pasuach kulam giborim. A description of the army of Nebuchadnezzar, and the Gemara goes on to describe Rav Shmuel v'Amila Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi Chanam Abishas Shazorkin Chetzos in Ashpasos Shel Chalalim. When they send out their arrows, so what ends up happening is that piles and piles of corpses. Meaning they're good with the arrows. V'shem etamar she'umnim b'krav, and maybe the Gemara says, okay, they're experts. In other words, that they're archers. And the Gemara is not saying that like as a compliment. Meaning, okay, that's what they do. They throw arrows. Tamalamar kulam giborim. The Gemara says, no, they're giborim. They're warriors. They're not just archers. And yet, even though they're warriors, but still, in terms of sending out arrows, they're also good. Chanam rabishasha osin sorchehem osin ashpasus ashpasus shal zevel. Another explanation of why it's referred to as Ashpatot is that the army of Nebuchadnezzar, when they went to relieve themselves, so they created mounds and mounds. And the Gemara says, okay, that's an indication that they were warriors. Maybe that's just an indication that they have some sort of GI dilemma. So the Gemara says, Tamalam or Kulam Giborim? Again, no, Kulam Giborim. They're warriors. And as Rashi explains over here, they ate a tremendous amount of food. And just to show how strong, how great they were. Laman Afkamina. Sorry, I skipped a line. Amar of Marish Mamina Haiman Denafish Ivlay Cholimaimhu. The Gemara says, what did we just learn from this Gemara? Gemara says a little bit of medicinal advice. And that is that if you are going to the bathroom frequently and you're creating a lot of waste, so you are probably speaking to a GI condition. Meaning the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar, so they were Giborim. But that's atypical. What's typical is that if you're creating a lot of waste, that's not good. It speaks to a GI problem. Lamai nafkamina, and the Gemara says, and practically, okay, is that useful information? Gemara says, sure it is. The Shmamina, the Gemara says, it is, because Haiman denafishiv leich, olemaimu, sorry, lamai nafkamina, litrach benafshe. Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, you know what you need to do? At least Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, you need to go seek medical help. Meaning, it is important to go seek medical help. You have a condition, and something's bothering you, so you got fix it. Go. Rashi writes, Omer lahem umahi avtacha. No, I'm sorry. Litrach benafshei Rashi lavakish lo refuos ter michabed chol yo'alav. Go get some medicine. Right, classic machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban in terms of our pursuit of getting medical help. The Rambam, everyone knows where they stand on this issue. The Rambam writes that seeking medical help is something we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to just simply, when we're sick, say, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of it. No. The Rambam says medicine is part of the natural world. It's a natural order, and you go seek medical help. That's the Rambam. The Ramban. You'll forgive me, I don't remember off the top, I don't have a Mar Makom off the top of my head, but the Ramban says no, that if you're the Baal Emunah, the one who has real, complete faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he'll turn to Hashem. Doctors are for those of us who have less Emunah. So we'll go to the doctors, but for the people, for the person who really has Emunah, he understands that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal Refuos, he's the really one producing the Refuah. So
the Shach and the
Taz, right. So the and so if you know, I'm not gonna weigh in on the debate. I'm not a person that is able to weigh in on the debate. But the Gemara over here, at least Rashi's understanding of the Gemara over here, certainly sounds much more like the Rambam. That the Gemara says, if you have some issue, so litrach bay, go take care of it. It's important. Okay, fighter. Yes. Yes. Again, I don't know who's on that madrega for the Ramban. I mean, it's not, you know, it's.
People would think that they're at fault if they go.
Right.
So in order to not go.
Right. Okay, daga b'lev ish yisacharna. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of Mishlei. Again, we're a little bit off topic right now, but the Baal members are the same. So the Gemara just links these together. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, chanamai yisacharna midata. Let's say you have anxiety. How do you take care of the anxiety? Oh, wouldn't we all like to know how to take care of the anxiety? So the Gemara says, sure, I'll give you two suggestions. One suggestion says the Gemara is yisacharna midata. Just push it away. If it were only that simple. But the Gemara says, sure, that's one suggestion. So and another suggestion, says the Gemara, is yisichenu la'acherim, go tell other people, get it off the chest. And that's a good way to get rid of anxiety. I listened to an old friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Rabbi Daniel Feldman. He's on YU Torah. A good plug for him. So anyway, a very interesting shir. He was talking about saying Lashon Hara to your wife or to your spouse. Right? Is that okay? So it's a great topic. It's, you know, it's something that's very practical and happens all the time. Of course, I'm not speaking from personal experience, but yeah, everyone understands. It's just, it's whatever. It's, you know, it's, I think we can all relate. And one of the things he brings up is this very Gemara. This very Gemara says that if you have anxiety, so the Gemara is saying from the Pasuk of Mishlei, Yisachenu La'acherim. So getting it off your chest is a means of reducing the anxiety. So again, he didn't. It's not a simple issue. He didn't come up with a definitive conclusion, but one of the Gemaras that he quoted was this very Gemara that seems to suggest that, you know, if it reduces anxiety, then there's some benefit to it. So then it's fine. I'm not saying it's fine. I'm just simply saying that this Gemara certainly seems to weigh in on the issue. V'atem I atem kain. The Gemara, we're now on the very bottom of Membeis Amud Beis. V'kol kach lama. So why? In other words, Hashem Elokechem. Right, the pasuk seems to be a little bit repetitive. The Gemara goes on to explain. Because we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name, the kinuyim that are in the Aron, and they're coming together with out together with us to war, so they're going to be with us. V'es Pinchas. And when we went out to war against Midian, so we went out together with Shem Hashem, Pinchas. The Gemara goes on to explain. Osam, Elof Sanhedrin. The Osam is a reference to the Sanhedrin. And Pinchas, do Meshuch Mechama. Pinchas there is going to represent, he is the Meshuch, the coin Meshuch Mechama. Klei Kodesh, Aaron, Veluchos. And the Klei Kodesh is a reference to the Aaron together with the Luchos. Shiva. The chatzotzos atrua ela shofros, and the chatzotzos atrua is a reference to the shofros. Okay. That is a list of items, people and items that we went out to battle with. And again, the Gemara's point is just simply that we have Hashem Elokechem. We have Hashem, we have the Kinuyim going out to battle with us. It will be of significance. Time of the Gemara quotes the Braitha. Lo lechinam halach Pinchas lemechana eli paradin avi imo shenemar. Now, Pinchas, when he went out, the Gemara says it wasn't just that he represented Kohen Meshuch Mechama, but for him it was personal as well. Why? Because he wanted to exact a vengeance. Now, I know that we have a general Isser in the Torah of Lo Sikam, that you're not allowed to take revenge, although the Mefarsh and the Rishonim, right? It's Sefer Yoreim, I think, is most often quoted on this topic. Says that the seeking of revenge is on monetary issue, but if it's not monetary issue, so then it's not. So then there's an idea of vengeance. So over here, the Gemara says that as far as Pinchas is concerned, so he wanted to exact vengeance. Because the Midanim, which by the way, even though in the Torah, in last week's Parsha, right, Yosef was sold by the Midanim. From our Gemara over here, it seems very clear that Midanim and Midyanim are synonymous. Because, right, they went to battle later on in the Midbar against the Midyanim. So it certainly seems that the two are synonymous. It's the Midanim who sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. Now I know they're the middleman, right? The Bnei Yaakov sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim, who sold them to the Midyanim. At least that's Rashi's understanding of the sequence of events. In the meantime,
they sold Yosef to their cousins.
Yeah, right. Correct. Right. I mean, back then, I mean, everyone was kind of related, so it's kind of unavoidable. But yes, it's a fair observation. So lememar de Pinchas miyosef asei v'haksev. Now the Gemara says, now in terms of Pinchas, he was a product of whom? Who was his? We know who his father was, but who was his mother and where did she come from? So the Gemara says it's a little bit conflicting, because we also know V'aksiva Elazar ben Aaron lakach lo mibnos Putiel. We know that Elazar took for a wife Benos Putiel. Who's that? I'm sorry, mibnos Putiel Elisha. So my love da'asim Yisro shepite magal ma'avodis kochavim. So we generally assume that Putiel is a reference to Yisro, who in his previous life, not previous life, but in the earlier stages of his life, so he was a classic idolater. So the Gemara says, Lom Yosef. So the Gemara says, no, we could argue that really, Pinchas' mother really comes from Yosef. Shepit Beit B'Yitzro. So the Gemara says, V'alom Shvatim Mevazen Oso. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's you could say that, but the Gemara says it's really unlikely. It's much more probable that Pinchas' mother is coming from Yisro. Because what we see that, or at least we know midrashically, that they mocked Pinchas after he killed. So the Gemara says, come on, they were making fun of him. He killed the Nasi of Shimon. He killed the Nasi. And they said, can you imagine this Pinchas, who is maternal grandfather, is an idolater. And he has the goal, the audacity to kill a Nasi Shebi Yisrael. Right? And they were mocking him. But you hear in that mocking that he was a descendant of Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Ela Iavu di Imei mi Yosef, Imei di Imei mi Yisrael, Vi'i Imei di Imei mi Yosef, Avu di Imei mi Yisrael. The Gemara says, we can stop arguing. That both points can be true. Meaning, on his mother's side, it could be that she is a hybrid of, right, either, the Gemara says, you don't have to take a side over here. Either her mother, either her grandmother or her grandfather on the mother's side, one is going to be from Yisro and the other one's going to be from Yosef. And Dekanami Dechsif, the Gemara says, and the truth of the matter is that reread the pasuk again, and we can easily arrive at this conclusion. Mi benos putiel. Tre mashma. It says benos, the daughters of. Why daughters? Because really, there are two different sources that produces Pinchas' mother. So trei mashmash mami nad. The Gemara says that's fine. We can certainly arrive at that conclusion that Pinchas' mother, obviously we know the father is Elazar, but the mother could come both from Yisro, meaning the grandfather, grandmother, and you can really pick a side, it doesn't matter. But the grandfather and the grandmother of Pinchas, meaning his mother's parents, one comes from Yosef and the other one comes from Yisro. Atan. Okay, that brings us to our Mishnah. Okay. After, as long as we discussed in the previous Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the 8th Perek, we talked about the speech that was given to the to the army by the Kohen Mashiach Mechama, so we're going to stay on topic. Our next Mishnah is now going to move ahead and highlight more details regarding the speech. And also, as long as we're here, we're also going to talk about the Pturim. We're going to talk about the exemptions of who does not have to go to battle because it's in the same Parsha. Again, if I could just take a moment to review some of the basic Pesukim that we're going to be highlighting in the course of this discussion. We are on, we're in Parsha Shoftim, we're in Perichav. Kisei Tzalam Echamal, Levecha V'Yisra Sisvarechav Am Rav Mimcha Lo Sira Mehem Keshem Elokecha Yimach Amalcha Meretz Mitzrayim. So we're going to go out to battle, and we're going to see horses and army, and don't be afraid. Now, as we approach war, so the Kohen's now going to speak to us. The Amar Alehem. This is now Pasuk Gimel, and the Kohen says to us, Shema Yisrael Tam Kreivim Ayom Lamachama Leivechem. Ayirach Levavchem Al Tiru VaAl Tach Bezu VaAl Tartzu B'Nehem. The previous mission already went on to explain the four different expressions used in this pasuk. Ki Hashem Elokechem Ha'olech Imachem Lilachem Lachem Imoivechem Laoshia Eschem. So that was Pesukim Gimel and Dalin. Now Pasuk Hey. V'dibru Hashotrim. Now we have other officers coming and they're going to speak to us. If you built a new house and you didn't inaugurate it, so there you have an exemption, you can go back home. Next, this pasuk vav. If you planted a vineyard and you didn't and you didn't redeem it, so you can go home. You also get an exemption. And finally, Pasuk Zayin. Mi shasher eres isha v'lo lakacha, yelech v'yashov l'veso pen yamuz b'machama v'isha acher yikachano. And again, if you're newly married, so you can, once again, go home. That was Pasuk Zayin. Now we have Pasuk Ches. V'yasfu hashochim l'daber ala'am. And the Shochim continues to speak to the people. V'amru mi aisha yarei v'rach levav yelech v'yashov l'veso. Who is ever afraid, you go back. V'lo yimasas levav echab kilvavo. Because if you are going into battle afraid, so A, you'll be afraid, but B, you'll also create fear amongst the other soldiers as well. V'yake chalos ha-shochim l'daber la'amu paktus ha-ritzvos b'roshah. That is just a quick refresher of the Pesukim. Let's turn to our Mishnah. We're on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We're starting now the next Mishnah. Okay, so the heading of the Mishnah is the Pesukim. Echad abone bais, I'm sorry, echad abone. Beis ha-tefno, beis ha-bakar, beis ha-itzim, beis ha-otzros. It doesn't matter if the house is the house that you're going to live in, a storehouse for your grain, for your cattle, for your wood, a woodshed, a cellar, echad abone, ve'echad alokech, building a house, buying a house, echad yoresh, inheriting a house, echad shenatzel lamatana, or being gifted a house. New house over here does not necessarily mean you build it from the ground up. New house means to you it's new. Mi shasher nata kerem v'lo chilalo, echanoteh kerem v'echanoteh chamisha ilani ma'achal. You plant a vineyard, but again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a vineyard. If it's five fruit trees, v'afilo mechamesh etaminim, even if they're not all the same, echanoteh v'echanam mavrich v'echanam arkiv. Whether you plant the tree, you graft the tree, you I forgot the English term. Put it in the ground. They're grafting. Grafting is putting the
layers.
Huh?
Layers.
Layers it. Okay, putting the limb in the ground. Okay. And again, either it doesn't mean that you have to plant it, you could purchase it, you can inherit it, you could be gifted it. Again, to you, it's a new vineyard. Parenthetically, if you take a look at Rashi over here, you see the five stars in Rashi. Rashi is describing what the what the setup of the five trees would look like. Mia Isha share a race Isha. Betrothing a woman, echad amaris is a bestow, echad amaris is almana. You betroth either a virgin, a widow, afilo shomer yavam, or let's say it's your yavama, afilo shama shemesachava mechama, or let's say you heard that your brother died, and which means now that you have a yavama, choser uvalo. So then you go back. Kol elu ve'elu shomim divrei kohen me archei mechama. Then the Mishnah goes on to report that they don't immediately go back. First, they hear the instructions of the Kohen Meshuch Mechama at the battlefield. V'chozrin. And then they go back. And interesting, the Mishnah then goes on to say, they don't go back home. But rather, what they do is that they work on road improvement. And also, they're the suppliers to the battlefield. Okay, we'll talk more about that in the Gemara. Now, people who do not have an exemption, they do not have a patur. Let's say you build an extension to the house, or an achsadra, like a patio with a little awning over the top, or a mirpeset. Right, the balcony. Or if you plant only four trees, not five. Or let's say they're five trees, but they're not fruit-producing trees. Or let's say you take back your grusha. Or let's say you marry, but you marry be'isser. All these examples, of course, are men who take on women who they're not allowed to marry. Lo haya chozer. Under these circumstances, you do not have the benefit of going back. In terms of the machzer grushaso, Rashi points out over here that is not describing where you married her be'isser, meaning as we've discussed time and again throughout Chas, right? If she marries a man in between, then you're not allowed to take her back. That's an isser. But Rashi points out over here that's not what the Mishnah is describing. The Mishnah is describing where you divorced her and then you just took her back, which is a mitzvah, but it's not isha chadasha. It's not a new wife. So it's you're not extended the patur of going back. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, let's say the footprint of the house did not change. You took down the house, you built it up again, but it's basically same foundation, you do not go back. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that if you build a brick house in Sharon, and Rashi points out, it's not a permanent house. It's temporary. Rashi says it won't make it even 7 years. That's nothing. You don't go back. Elushain Zazimim Komam. Then the Mishnah gives us a list of people who are not Zazimim Koman. Rashi points out, previously we were discussing people who at least go out to the battlefield. Or as Rashi points out, and Rashi here covers both columns, Rashi points out at the top, not all the way to the front line, but Adlas Far. They're going to go out to the border. In other words, they're going to escort the army out to the border. They listen to the Kohen, who speaks at the border, and then they go back. But they do not go back home. But they're the ones supplying water, food and water. However, there are people who get such an exemption, they don't even need to escort the army out to the border. Bana bayis v'chancho, nata kerem v'chilalo, hanoses erusaso, hakones es yivimto. If you not only just built the house, but built and just moved in. Not only married the Arusa, I'm sorry, not only were Ma'aris her, but Nisuin as well. Not only, and even, I went out of order. Built the house and moved in. Planted a vineyard and just redeemed it. Was Ma'aris a woman and then just married her. So there, your patur is so strong, your exemption is so strong, you don't even have to escort. Hakonis is Yevimto, and even marriage of a Yevama. Shenemar Niki Yeleveso, Shana Achas Leveso. You have a year to be with your wife. Beso Yeze, I'm sorry. So, Leveso Ze Beso. So a Beso is a reference to the house. Yeh Ze Kamo, the Yeh is a reference to your vineyard. The Samach is Ishto, Ze Ishto. And Ishto is a reference to Ishto. These are quote unquote easy.
Why isn't Beto his wife?
Well, because we have. Yeah, I understand. You're right. But we have the word Ishto. So Ishto is his wife. So therefore, Beso has to be taken literally. Asher Lakach Lavi is Yivimto. And the Asher Lakach is a Ribui. It means even if you marry your Yavama. Which again is a marriage, but you just may be just filling in for your brother. So it could have been viewed as not a quote unquote a new marriage, we have a ribui. Ain must speak in my drachim. And your exemption is such that you don't have to go and fix the roads and provide water and food for your brothers who are out to war. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We're in the Gemara, we're on the bottom, towards the bottom of Gimel, but Aleph, V'dibra Shotrim, Yachol Dvarim Shel Atzman. We've noted as we went through the Pesukim before we started the Mishnah, that basically if we can divide the Pesukim, there are like three speaking parts. The first one is really Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. Right before Pasuk Gimel. V'nigash HaKohen V'dibir Al Ha'am. So this is what the Kohen's going to say, and then we have Ma'amar Leim Shema Yisrael Pasuk Gimel, and Ki Hashem Elokeichem Olechim Achem. That's Pasuk Dalet. Then that's section one. Section two, V'dibru Hashotrim Ela'am. The officers are now going to speak, and that covers Pesukim Hey Vav and Zion. Then Pasuk Ches V'yasfu Hashotrim Ladaber, and the officers continue to speak. So it's almost like there are three speeches that are given to the army. The Gemara now is going to explain how we divide them. Tanu Rabbanan Hashoshim Yachol Dvarim Shel Atzmam Kishu Omer V'yasfu Hashoshim HaDvarim Shel Atzmam Amor. When in the third section, when it says V'yasfu, that's the Shoshim who are then able to ad lib. Hamani Mekayim V'dabru Hashoshim V'divrei Meshuach Mechama Hakasa Medaber. When in section two it says that the officers speak, that's not really them speaking. They are simply broadcasting what the Kohen Meshuch Mechama is actually saying. HaKetzad. So the Gemara says, and now, let's fill in the details. Kohen Medaber V'Shotir Mashmiya. The Kohen speaks, and the officer broadcasts. Tani Chada, and now based... Huh? He's an Amora. Tani Chada, we're going to have now three brisos, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to match them to the three sections of this parsha. Tenichad kol medaber v'shotem mashmia, v'tanyidach kol medaber v'kol mashmia, v'tanyidach shotem medaber v'shotem mashmia. Okay, so kohen shoter. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Ketzad, mi v'nigash v'ad v'dabru kol medaber v'kol mashmia. Section one, that's kohen. Kohen speaking, Kohen's broadcasting. Section two, Kohen speaks, Shotir is Mashmiya. And the last section, that's officer. New house doesn't mean you have to actually have built it, just means new house. Even if you bought it, even if you were inherited it, even if you were gifted it, new. The ribui halashon asher bana bias. Ainly Allah bias minayin larabos beisat tevin beisat bakavay beisat eitzim beisat atzoros. How do I know that if it's not a residential, but it's simply a storehouse? How do I know that that's sufficient grounds for your exemption? Tamalam asher bana mikol makom. Yachos ani mar ba'afa bonet beishar chsadro merpeses. Tamalam bias ma bias aroy ledira of kol aroy ledira. It has to be somewhere where people or items occupy the house. the Beis Sha'ar, that's your entranceway to your house, or the balcony. So those are not Beis Dira, and therefore do not provide for you an exemption. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Bais Kemashmo. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. He's of the opinion, you know what a house means? A house means a house. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, all these storage facilities do not give you an exemption. Lo chanach v'lo chancho. What if, it's a funny Gemara, what if you steal a house? So we have an exclusion. If you steal a house, you're not, yeah, I know. If you steal a house, you're not afforded the exemption. The Gemara says, Lema deloka Rabbi Yosef Glil, di Rabbi Yosef Glil, Hamar, Viracha Levav. Now, the Gemara says that's interesting. We have a special exemption for somebody who steals a house. Why do I need a special exemption? Especially according to Rav Yosef Aglili, who understands that. The third section where the Shoter says, anyone who's afraid, why would you be afraid? I mean, aside from the obvious reason that you're going to war. But, in other words, but if you have emuna and you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you, why would you be afraid? And the correct answer is, because you have skeletons in the closet. So Rav Yosef Galila says, Zehamis Yare Me Averos. Rav Yosef Galila says that that's exactly the point. Someone who has Averos should be Yado. So, let's think this through. We just learned that there's a special exemption there's an exemption for someone who builds a house, but within the exemption, there's an exclusion for someone who steals a house. That, for him, is not considered a proper building, and therefore, he's not afforded this exemption. The Gemara says, I don't understand. He has averos. He stole a house. What are we even having a discussion for? Gemara says, I feel tamer Rabbi Yosi Aglile. Kigon da avad shuva v'yayiv demay. Gemara says he stole the house, but he did shuva, and what he did is ultimately he paid for it. Now, if you're a gazlan and you want to do real shuva, what do you need to do? You need to return the item that which you stole. The heishiv is a gzela. We learned in Baba Kama. We will learn together in Baba Kama. It's at the end of the Masechta that the Chachamim made a special takana for those people who, let's say, stole a beam of wood and built it into a house. And now you want me to do tshuva and take down my whole house? Okay, you know. So there's a special takana derabanan where you can pay for it, and that would be sufficient. That would allow you to be a baal tshuva. So the Gemara says over here, the guy was a baal tshuva, he paid for it. V'yayiv demei. Ihach yehav lelokeach. So the Gemara says, okay, so he bought a house. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, v'lehader. Kevin de mikar betars gazela asaliya delo. Gemara says, yeah. In the end of the day, you're right, he did pay for it. But ultimately, when all said and done, it originated as a theft. So even though you're a baal tshuva and the guy accepted your money and everything's good, but ultimately it comes about through theft, this does not provide for you a proper exemption where you get a pass from having to go to war. We'll stop over here. Vineyards, marriage. Okay, these are just great Gemaras coming up regarding understanding the exemptions of Mechama.